My guest at this time is Andrew Arthur. He's a resident fellow in law and policy at the Center for Immigration Studies. The organization is, shall we say, less than pleased with President Trump's immigration reform framework after he agreed to putting nearly three times the number of people currently enrolled in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program on a pathway to citizenship and allowing up to 4 million people in the chain migration pipeline to stay there until they've been fully processed. And Andrew, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, there's a lot of different moving parts, of course, to this. The Democrats, for the most part, simply want to enshrine into federal law legal protections and certainly a pathway to citizenship for people enrolled in DACA, and then they would extend that to everyone who's eligible for it, and that's why they usually refer to them as the Dreamers. Republicans, at least a lot of them, are mainly focused on making sure we don't get into this problem again, and that's dealing with limiting chain migration, ending the diversity lottery, and more border security. The president, of course, wants the wall and so forth. Let's take your biggest concerns one at a time here, and let's start with the 1.8 million who would not only be granted legal status, but put on a path to citizenship, which is something the president hadn't agreed to until very recently.
That's right. Right now, there are about 690,000 individuals, aliens in the United States, who are DACA beneficiaries. The president's framework would actually increase that number, or increase the number of individuals who would be put on a pathway to citizenship, to 1.8 million, and that would be a 10 to 12 year path to citizenship. And needless to say, that would be an amnesty for almost 2 million people. Quite frankly, we've seen similar proposals in the past where there have been amnesties floated, amnesties passed, and inevitably the number of people who end up being granted is higher than the number that were anticipated. Part of that has to do with fraud. Inevitably, there's going to be a certain level of fraud in this process because, of course, you're going to have to identify that you've been in the United States since a time certain, and the documents that you can offer generally fairly vague. The other thing is that this is going to add a huge amount of work to the plate of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, who's going to have to adjudicate these applications. If it was simply the 690,000 DACA people, well, USCIS already knows who those people are and can do a one-to-one match. When you're talking about an additional 1.1 million individuals, that's going to require brand new files being opened, documents being reviewed, and the fact is that USCIS just doesn't have the bandwidth to do that work right now.
Let's talk about chain migration now. This is an issue, obviously, that I know from talking to Mark Krikorian, who obviously heads up CIS, that is perhaps at the top of his immigration enforcement priority list, scaling it back to just spouses and minor children being given permission to be sponsored for citizenship after somebody gets it on their own over here, whereas now it extends a lot further down the branches of the family tree. Explain what the problem is, even if that gets enacted, what the president is willing to allow here in terms of folks already in the process?
Well, the way that the process works right now, as you mentioned before, it includes parents of USCs and brothers and sisters of USCs, as well as adult children. What the framework that was proposed by the White House yesterday would do is it would limit it to the nuclear families, spouses and minor children of lawful permanent residents. And you know, that's not perfect, but it's better than the system that we have right now. The problem is that the framework also will make these changes prospectively, not retroactively, and it's going to process through the 4 million people who are currently in that backlog, people who, you know, have had petitions filed on their behalf and who are awaiting a number in order to apply, go through the process of being vetted. So, you know, that's a pretty big concern of ours because, of course, you're going to end up giving an additional 4 million people potentially status.
Let me have you respond to one statement here. I know there have been several others from the left, and you got folks on the right like you have been disappointed with what the president just did. Most people would think that that would be a welcome shift from the left, but not so. Senator Dick Durbin, the number two Democrat in the U.S. Senate, saying Dreamers should not be held hostage to President Trump's crusade to tear families apart and waste billions of American dollars on an ineffective wall. And some other group called it basically a white supremacist wish list or something to that effect. So what do you make of the fact that even though this is a shift that alarms groups like yours quite a bit, you got folks on the left saying what's left in this bill is still thoroughly appalling and unacceptable?
Well, quite frankly, I think that as it relates to Senator Durbin and to the other individual, the other group that you just cited, I mean, that's just plain sanctimony. I could have anticipated what Dick Durbin was going to say, and I could have written it myself. The fact is that these are the fixes that are proposed, the other in the proposals that are set forth in the framework are necessary changes that we need in order to ameliorate the problem that got us here to begin with. The fact is that there are huge loopholes in the law that allow unaccompanied alien children to come to the United States, show up at a port of entry. They don't even have to enter illegally and, you know, get into the United States. And once in the United States, United States government officials complete the work of the smugglers that brought them to the border to begin with and, you know, reunite them with family members or friends or, you know, other unidentified individuals in the United States who will take care of them. This is a huge problem, and quite frankly, it's a huge magnet that draws minors to the United States. And there's actually a pretty big issue here that, again, Senator Durbin doesn't address. These people are brought to the United States by smugglers. Your parents are, you know, entrusting them or paying smugglers to bring them to the United States. And we're not talking about, you know, the gate agent at Southwest Airlines to make sure that your minor child makes it from St. Louis to San Diego on a direct flight. These are criminals. And most of these criminals are not only tied in with the cartels, but they're paying money to the cartels to assure safe passage across the border. Nothing crosses the Mexican-American border illegally that doesn't impact the cartels. And the cartels are going to get their cut of it if they're not directing it themselves. So this would be equivalent to, you know, going to any crime-ridden area of the United States, finding any, you know, random individual on a street corner, giving him $5,000 and asking them to take your child to Berlin. So, you know, the people that engage in these activities don't, you know, simply smuggle people for money. The fact is that they rob, they rape, they hold people ransom for money. And the fact is that, you know, they do that with children as well. So turning off that magnet is an absolutely crucial element of any plan that's going to grant any kind of amnesty to any population of DACA people.
All right, where do you think this is headed? Because if this is an opening salvo, and the Democrats hate it, and Republicans, for the most part, don't have to get a lot of Democrats to like it to pass it. But if we're only likely to head left from here, how concerned are you about where this could end up?
And that really is the concern. Inevitably, bills like this are a race to the bottom, because if you say, well, you know, 1.8 million people who got here on X date, well, why not people who got here on X date plus 1 year? You know, why, you know, people who came here when they were below the age of 16, why not people who got here when they were below the age of 18? And that is the problem with the framework, with this being the opening bid. The other thing to consider, however, is that this is an opening bid that looks like it's come from the Senate, from some fairly moderate folks in the Senate. There's some individuals in the House who are vociferously opposed to any plan like this, and you can anticipate that those individuals will attempt to pare back the amazingly generous proposal that the president has made. Quite frankly, if the Democrats don't take this deal and end up scuttling it, this is going to be on their heads.
Well, and I spoke with Congressman Goodlatte a little bit earlier this week, and he said his more conservative bill has been promised floor action by Republican leaders, but we're also hearing that Republican leaders like what they see in this framework. So not exactly sure how it's likely to proceed. One last question about the Democrats here, Art, before we let you go. And all of the rhetoric seems to be entirely focused on the DACA recipients, and we get that that is the priority from their perspective, but they seem to blanch and accuse anyone in terms of advocating border security of either being bigoted or heartless or take your pick of horrible adjectives. So even if you were to get a bill that you like that put in these proper restrictions, whether it's chain migration, the lottery, not extending amnesty and so forth, border security, given what we've seen since the Reagan amnesty of 1986 about pieces of policy just simply being refused to be enforced, How much confidence would you have that, given a new administration or a new Congress down the line, that it wouldn't simply be gutted?
And that is the biggest concern, and you've really put your finger on it. Inevitably, we always get the amnesty, but we never get the enforcement that we were promised. We were promised that we would have a vigorous employer sanctions program in 1986 that would turn off the jobs magnet. And the fact is, right now, what we've got is a bunch of people, filling out paperwork, sticking it in the employer's file cabinet, and it's sitting there gathering dust for years. And we just don't get the enforcement. Enforcement needs to come first before any amnesty. And there has to be a strong regime of enforcement that can be guaranteed, not just in the 115th Congress, but in the 120th and the 125th Congress.
All right. We'll certainly be watching. Thanks very much for your time and your insight.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Andrew Arthur, resident fellow in law and policy at the Center for Immigration Studies. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.